Breaking news tonight. Our stunning new poll. A shakeup in the race for president as Ted Cruz moves ahead of Donald Trump. Plus, Cruz dares Trump to sue him and a big fight boils over. Apple versus the FBI. The tech giant ordered to help the feds break into the San Bernardino killer's iPhone. Still locked months after the attack. Why Apple says your privacy is at stake. Testosterone boost for men of a certain age. Millions who take low T meds for help with energy, libido, and body. A major new study reveals how well they work. What's really in your food? Turns out that Parmesan cheese at the grocery store might not be what you think it is. What you should know. And the power couple who hit the jackpot half a billion times over. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. A surprising development of the race for president leads our news tonight. A brand new NBC News Wall Street Journal poll shows Donald Trump has slipped from the top spot nationally, falling behind Ted Cruz among Republican primary voters. Our poll has Cruz now ahead at 28%, with Trump at 26% and Marco Rubio rounding out the top three at 17%. Trump's tumble from the top spot comes as he and Cruz trade threats, dares, and accusations ahead of Saturday's South Carolina primary, where Trump still leads. NBC's Hallie Jackson has late details.
Tonight, a stunning shift in the Republican race. A new national frontrunner, Ted Cruz.
It's tremendously encouraging to be leading the field nationally. I think as a result.
Did you ever think you'd be here?
Look, that was always the plan. Look, that's how you win. You got to get to first place to win.
It's a 15-point flip from last month. Trump slipping 7 points, Cruz up 8 after the Iowa caucuses, the New Hampshire primary, and Saturday night's debate.
Republican voters have taken a pause deciding whether or not they want to nominate Donald Trump to be president.
As Cruz heats up, he's burning it down in South Carolina with a scorched earth news conference.
File the lawsuit.
Daring Donald Trump to sue him over this ad.
I'm very pro-choice.
Trump wants Cruz to stop airing the spot, pointing to his current pro-life stance.
Trump supporters have shown a great likelihood of forgiving him for positions like that.
Cruz insists he'll put the ad on TV more often now, even as Trump doubles down on his threat in an MSNBC town hall.
I've had great success in business. I've had great success with lawsuits, and I don't know that we're going to have a lawsuit, but we certainly want to keep somebody honest.
Taunting Cruz, saying, "Time will tell, Teddy." Trump is again calling him a liar. Their political bromance, long dead.
You hugged him for months and months and months, and there are those who say that you and your support of Donald Trump at that time has allowed him to be where he is today and to be in the position to talk about this stuff.
Listen, Hallie, as I said at the time, there is a time and season in a campaign for policy differentiation.
So you always knew this moment was going to come?
Of course, it was always headed to this.
But in South Carolina, it's Trump who's still dominating in the polls. Cruz trailing him, Marco Rubio close behind, and closing in late tonight, picking up a new endorsement from South Carolina's popular governor. Rubio wasn't the only one looking for Nikki Haley's support. Jeb Bush was, too. But our new poll's hypothetical head-to-head matchups show Bush and John Kasich would lose to Donald Trump. Only Cruz and Rubio would beat him. Lester?
Hallie Jackson, thank you. I'm joined now by Chuck Todd, our political director and moderator of Meet the Press. Chuck, there's been broad consensus that if Trump wins South Carolina, he would have this clear path to the nomination. Do these new national poll numbers suggest things won't be that easy now?
I think what you see here with our new numbers is this, Lester, is that we've always told you, and we've been polling this for months, Donald Trump has a low ceiling but a high floor, meaning he's never going to drop too low, but he always seems to struggle as the field shrinks to get over that 50% marker. And what our poll shows on this is that as this field has shrunk, remember, this is the smallest field we've tested in the last 6 months, we've seen that Trump doesn't grow, everybody else does. So this is a flashing yellow light for Donald Trump. Even if he wins South Carolina, he's going to have problems down the road as the field winnows.
All right, Chuck Todd tonight, thank you. Much more from Donald Trump at a town hall event tonight at 8 Eastern and Pacific, only on MSNBC.
Things are rapidly changing in the Democratic race, too, where Hillary Clinton's once comfortable lead in Nevada has all but evaporated. Now a virtual dead heat with Bernie Sanders ahead of Saturday's vote. And now with what looks like a long road ahead of them to the nomination, Sanders and Clinton are increasingly focused on securing the black vote. NBC's Kristen Welker has more.
Something wrong, my friends.
Secretary Clinton is ramping up her outreach to black voters on the south side of Chicago today, vowing to reform the criminal justice system.
To make sure that no other young woman like Sandra Bland is ever pulled out of a car for no good reason and thrown into a jail where she is found dead.
Sandra Bland's mother by her side less than a year after her daughter was found dead in a Texas jail. This, as a new poll shows Clinton and Sanders now deadlocked in Nevada, her double-digit lead in October evaporating to just a single point. Senator Sanders, who's struggling to win over minorities, making his case at a rally in Atlanta last night. But the headlines came from Sanders' surrogate, rapper Killer Mike, quoting educator and activist Jane Elliott.
Jane said, Michael, a uterus doesn't qualify you to be president of the United States.
Those comments sparking a backlash on Twitter, the accusations of sexism giving the Clinton campaign an opening.
There's another way to make that point without necessarily offending people.
What Mike was trying to say in his way was people have got to vote for the candidate they think is the best candidate, not based on gender.
With the Nevada caucuses just 3 days away.
As a woman, I don't need to vote for a woman just because I'm a woman.
The race is up for grabs.
If Bernie Sanders can win here, he will make the argument that he can win anywhere, which is exactly what Hillary Clinton doesn't want to hear.
And the stakes of every move couldn't be higher. Secretary Clinton also has three fundraisers here. Last month, Senator Sanders outpaced her in fundraising, mostly through small online donations, another factor that is making the Clinton team nervous. Lester.
Kristen Welker in Chicago, thank you. Another big story we're following tonight, the battle between Apple and the FBI. The tech giant says it's all about protecting your privacy, while the feds say it's all about national security. At the center of it, it's an iPhone belonging to the San Bernardino killers, which months after the attack is still locked. And as our justice correspondent Pete Williams reports, Apple is now being ordered to help the FBI break in.
Inside this black Lexus, driven by San Bernardino attackers Syed Farouk and Tashfeen Malik, the FBI says it found a smartphone used by Farouk that could contain critical evidence. Did they plan more attacks? Was anyone else involved? It's an Apple iPhone 5C like this one and must be unlocked with a combination. But trying to guess won't work because after 10 unsuccessful tries, the contents of the phone are permanently scrambled, lost forever. Now a judge is ordering Apple to create and install software on that phone to defeat the security, allowing an FBI computer to keep entering numbers until it hits on the right combination to unlock the phone. Privacy advocates say they'll help fight the order.
We all know that if you build a backdoor or a master key into a lock, you can't control that only good guys are going to use it and bad guys are not going to be able to use it.
After months of saying that it cannot get into a locked phone, Apple now says it should not be forced to do so. In a letter to customers, CEO Tim Cook says if Apple creates the software and it fell into the wrong hands, it could unlock any iPhone, a blow to customers who rely on companies like Apple to protect their data.
They do business all over the world, and if they give this kind of access to the U.S. government, they may have to give it to the Russians. They may have to give it to the Chinese, and Apple simply doesn't want to do that.
This privacy versus security showdown comes against the backdrop of an act of terrorism. The husband of one of those killed in the San Bernardino shootings, Benena Betpadol, says Apple is wrong.
I'm very upset that Apple is not assisting the federal government. People's life matter.
New York City's police commissioner agrees.
That right to privacy is not a total right in the sense that if it is being used for criminal purposes.
Before the San Bernardino shootings, the majority in an NBC News poll said they worried the government would go too far in terrorism investigations and violate the privacy of citizens. After the attack, the majority worried the government would not go far enough. Apple says it will fight this new order in court. Lester?
All right, Pete, thank you. Overseas, dozens are dead and injured after a bomb exploded near Turkey's parliament, a horrific attack in the heart of a strategic U.S. ally. The question tonight, who did it? NBC's Kelly Cobiella reports.
a fireball in the heart of Turkey's capital at the height of rush hour. Flames shot several feet into the air as people scrambled to safety. Police and the military sealed off the area while emergency workers rushed in to help the injured. The target was the Turkish military, the powerful car bomb exploding just as buses carrying officers and soldiers drove by the armed forces headquarters, stopping at traffic lights. More than two dozen are dead, some 60 injured. The country's deputy prime minister called it a well-planned act of terrorism, the latest in a string of attacks in places many considered safe. 10 German tourists killed in a suicide bombing in Istanbul. More than 100 killed in a double bombing at a peace rally in Ankara. ISIS blamed for both attacks. Turkey is fighting the terror group in Syria and Iraq, but it's also at war with Kurdish militias.
Turkey now is in the eye of the storm. It faces a strategic predicament. It faces multiple insurgencies.
Turkey's president said tonight he's determined to fight those who carried out the deadly bombing. Kelly Kobiella, NBC News, London.
Pope Francis is wrapping up his trip to Mexico with a historic cross-border mass. The event, a few hundred feet from the U.S. border, attracting tens of thousands of followers on both sides. As NBC's Ann Thompson explains, the Pope is seizing this moment to make an emotional plea concerning the controversial issue of immigration.
A simple gesture, a powerful message. At the U.S. border fence, Pope Francis builds a symbolic bridge from Mexico on immigration. Francis, himself the son of immigrants, seeking to put a human face on the people fleeing what he calls grave injustices, poverty, exploitation, and violence. Among the hundreds of thousands here to see him, 21-year-old Jasmine Flores, who crosses the border every day to go to school.
For him just to come here to Juarez, to come to the border, to El Paso, it just means everything to us.
No longer the murder capital of the world, Juarez is still a dangerous place.
No, no.
Father Javier Calvillo runs a shelter for immigrants.
No hemos entendido ni comprendido.
He says he hopes Francis can make Americans see the people he helps every day should be treated with dignity. As he does on nearly every foreign trip, Francis visited a prison. One of the inmate musicians overwhelmed. This evening's mass broadcast on both sides of the border.
Religion reaches over walls, over mountains.
The joy on the Pope's face this trip marred only by a brief flash of anger when an overzealous fan nearly pulled him down onto a person in a wheelchair. Don't be selfish, he said.
The Vatican says mass here on the border is not a political statement, but a moral one by a pastor trying to unite a divided world. Lester.
And Thompson tonight in Mexico. Thanks. It's being called a landmark study that could affect millions of men who suffer from low testosterone. Low T, as the ads call it, has been linked to everything from loss of energy, muscle mass, and sexual function to an increased vulnerability to illness. And now, as NBC's Tom Costello tells us, new research sponsored by the National Institutes of Health shows testosterone replacement therapy may have some benefits.
See, I figured low testosterone would decrease my sex drive.
It's a nearly $5 billion a year market.
It was low testosterone.
Millions of men 40 and over are on testosterone replacement therapy, hoping to boost their energy, improve their mood, sexual desire, and function. Among them, 62-year-old Ed Stevens, who says at the age of 55, he suddenly began to feel tired and depressed.
I just felt off, and at the gym, I started losing ground.
Diagnosed with low T, he began testosterone replacement therapy.
My body mass came back to where it was. My energy was better. Libido was a little better.
Now, for the first time, a national study has found that a testosterone replacement gel provided some benefits to men 65 and older who suffered from low T.
Testosterone treatment improved their sexual function, their mood, and reduced depressive symptoms, and perhaps also improved walking.
But researchers insist it's too early to say whether all men with low T should be on replacement therapy. Previous studies have found that boosting testosterone might lead to an increased risk of heart attacks and prostate cancer. Still, millions of men say testosterone has restored their quality of life.
Take your jacket off, buddy.
In Texas, 68-year-old Dr. Bill Riley says testosterone therapy changed his life.
There were some risks of taking testosterone, but the benefit far outweighed any risk.
He's such a believer, he's now the medical director for a chain of low-T clinics as the baby boomer generation looks to offset the effects of aging.
Finish strong.
Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
Still ahead tonight, know what you're eating. The package may say Parmesan cheese, but you may be surprised to find out what else could actually be in it. Some of it may not even be cheese. Also, another piece of the mystery solved over who will split the biggest power jackpot in history. For many of us, a plate of pasta wouldn't be the same without a sprinkle of Parmesan cheese. But when the FDA investigated, it found one company's supposedly 100% Parmesan cheese actually contains substitutes, including a filler that can be derived from wood pulp. So how do you know what you're really buying and eating? NBC's Olivia Stearns has more.
It's no secret that Americans love their cheese. Just ask Seinfeld's George Costanza.
I want to bite into a big hunk of cheese. Just bite into it like it's an apple.
But an FDA investigation raising the question, what's in the cheese you're eating? In 2013, the agency targeted Castle Cheese, saying what the company labeled as 100% Parmesan cheese was actually a blend of cheaper cheeses and cellulose, an organic filler which can be derived from wood pulp. Blasting the company in a letter, quote, your Parmesan cheese products do not contain any Parmesan cheese. The company took corrective action, but ended up filing for bankruptcy and could not be reached for comment.
The FDA allows up to 4% filler product like cellulose in cheese. But experts say it's what's in the other 96% that might not be exactly what you think.
Experts say some companies go too far.
They're trying to do things that we don't notice, but to cut corners so that they can make money.
The Food Fraud Initiative tracks cases of mislabeling, citing some involving certain brands of cheese, extra virgin olive oil, and seafood. Top chefs like MSNBC contributor Tom Colicchio say most people don't have the palate to tell the difference.
This is a problem of labeling and what we're being sold and we're being marketed as something that is fresh or local, and it really isn't at all.
A possible contributing factor, former FDA Commissioner Dr. David Kessler says the FDA focuses on ensuring food safety, not investigating truth in advertising.
We can't forget that there are people, there are companies who cheat the system.
That may be grating news to fans of 100% real Parmesan cheese. Olivia Stearns, NBC News, New York.
The White House has announced that President Obama will not attend the funeral for Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia on Saturday. Instead, the president will pay his respects on Friday when the late justice lies in repose in the court's Great Hall. Vice President Joe Biden, however, is scheduled to attend Scalia's funeral. George Gaines has died. If the name doesn't sound familiar, some of his memorable roles surely will. He was Punky Brewster's irritable foster dad on the popular 80s TV show, and the bewildered Commandant Lasard in 7 Police Academy movies. A lot of people remember him as the soap opera star with a crush on Tootsie in the 1982 film. George Gaines was 98 years old. When we come back, they've been keeping the secret for weeks, but now meet America's newest instant multimillionaires. Finally tonight, a Florida couple's life just changed forever. They've cashed in the second of 3 winning tickets for last month's $1.6 billion Powerball jackpot. As our Janet Shamlian tells us, it was tough for them to keep their excitement under wraps.
Maureen Smith and David Kaltschmidt have known they were Powerball winners for weeks. But it's a secret they kept, even from their own family.
Lost a lot of sleep. I lost over 10 pounds, too. It's a lot of pacing at night, let me tell you.
The winning numbers were one Smith says she's played for years. They bought only 2 tickets.
So it was just the one. $3 investment.
David is an engineer who plans to retire, but since the drawing, has still been going to work.
First day I arrived late to work, they all suspected I won.
David and Maureen are splitting the record $1.6 billion jackpot with 2 other winners, one in California who's yet to come forward, and John and Lisa Robinson from Tennessee.
Can we see that ticket?
Who appeared on Today just 2 days after the drawing. Unlike the Robinsons, David and Maureen took some time to claim their prize. Still, they were anxious about this day.
Spreading it.
The couple told lottery officials when they arrived here today that they would be taking the lump sum option. That's $327 million plus change before taxes.
In their hometown of Melbourne Beach, Florida, the mystery is finally over.
We had no idea. They acted normal.
The couple say they'll take care of family, donate to charity, and David may buy a car. Otherwise, no big splurges planned.
I want to get a massage.
Janet Shamley in NBC News, Tallahassee, Florida.
That will do it for us on a Wednesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.